Well, it is good to be here and be with you all this morning. And if it's your first time joining us, I just want to say welcome and thank you for coming out. And again, it's always good to have guests in the room, and we pray that you'll be just blessed by your time with us this morning. For those joining online as well, as the regulars know here, we've been in a series, quite a long series, and we got quite a ways to go still too, but we like that, right? We like to just kind of spend time and work our way through, and we do that together. And so, you know, we're working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, and we find ourselves in chapter 10 this morning, which you're welcome to kind of start perusing your way or walking your way over to that in the meantime. But the title of the name of our series is A Church Worth Becoming. And so the repetition is always a friend. But I want to remind us this morning, you know, we are in the constant state of becoming. We should be. We should never be settling or stopping, but we are always moving forward, and we are becoming the church. We are the church, but we are also becoming that picture of what the church should be. And it takes all of us, and we've talked about this many times as well. It's in our society, we have such a focus on being an individual that sometimes we forget that, especially in the church, we are part of the body of Christ. And the body cannot exist in separate pieces apart from one another. We exist together. We make up the body of Christ together. You know, as many of you know, I was in the Army for a number of years, for almost a decade. And one of the things, we had a saying in the military, in the Army. I don't know if Marines or Navy said the same thing, but we'll see. Let's see if some of you pick up on this. But we had a phrase. It's a four-word phrase. It's stay alert. Anybody? Who said it? Would anybody not in the military know that one too? Okay. You probably have experienced that, right? Just in life. It's a great, great thing to know. It's a great phrase to be aware of. Why? Because stay alert, you stay alive. And in the military, we had to be reminded of this all the time, especially when you're downrange, you know, overseas, or you're in a hostile environment, that if it's the minute that you're not staying alert, and even that, you know, I worked in the aviation maintenance world and out at O'Hare and stuff. It's the same thing out there. You know, they're loading these huge cargo planes, and those things will crush you in like 2 seconds if you're in the wrong place. And so we would have to kind of maneuver around those while we're trying to get the plane set up to go. And that was something that we would say. I would say it oftentimes. I'm like, stay alert, stay alive, because literally there are certain times or certain things in life that will kill you. They say most things in life won't kill you. There are certain things that will, right? And so, you know, this saying of stay alert, stay alive, you know, keeps us living here. But also, I want to take this, and as we go into the message this morning, I also want to take that phrase and stay alert, stay alive. I want to look at that word alive just a little bit in the sense of, or be thinking of it this way, is it's not just like preventing death, but actually staying alive, meaning living life to the fullest. Living life to the fullest. And some of you, even in our walk with the Lord, it can become kind of dry. It can become mundane, you know, where we're not truly living. You know, we've talked about, I think it was last week we touched on it, but we talk about where, you know, we should have this, it was actually a while ago when we started the year, we were looking at the woman by the well, but when Jesus was talking about that spring of water in us, that spring that of life that should be coming forth from us. So we should be staying alert. Why? So that we can stay alive, so that we're productive, so that things are moving. We don't want things to become stagnant. And so we're going to take a look today at chapter 10, and Paul is actually going to go back to the Exodus, where Israel came out of Egypt, out of captivity, and he's going to be reflecting on that and pulling some truths from that and some places to learn. But, you know, a church worth becoming, as we keep talking about, learns from the past so that it may stay faithful in the future, or now I would just say even stay alive in the future. And so we've been working through these chapters, and as probably some of you have appreciated, Paul has been talking a lot about food. This food has been central. You probably spend most services in here thinking about what you're going to do for lunch, you know, because we talk so much. But it was obviously a big deal to the church in Corinth, all the stuff that was happening. And so, you know, Paul is, again, he's He's pulling all these things in because there's just true questions. There's things that they're wondering about. And he's dealing with this idea of, you know, what's acceptable and versus what's unacceptable. And now he's going to lean in more to addressing specifically what it means, you know, as far as some people were, you know, he's talking about food being okay, food, you know, you can consume whatever you want. But he's going to talk about the actual participation in the feast to these idols. And that's where he's going to kind of change his tune a little bit. And so the big idea this morning as we look at this is that Israel's failures, as we look at them, are going to teach us that we must stay alert to stay alive. You see, God's favor, okay, we've heard about that. We know about God's favor. We saw it on the children of Israel. It does not necessarily guarantee their faithfulness or our faithfulness. What I mean by that is that God's favor on our lives does not always translate to us continuing to be faithful. And when you look at the wilderness experience, you look at the Exodus, that's what was happening. As they were journeying, you want to talk about some of the greatest miracles they witnessed, and yet where were their hearts? They continued to drift from the Lord. They continued to grumble. They continued to complain. And so we see this as Paul lays it out here in this chapter. And this chapter is going to serve as a spiritual warning for the church. And the other thing to remember is as when you look back to that Exodus experience, that's really, it's called a type and shadow. It's symbolic of our walk here on earth. It's between when we are saved, and that's the picture of us, you know, coming out of our sin is Israel coming out of Egypt. Moses serves as a figure of a savior. Right? He's there. He's a shadow of Jesus Christ leading the people through the wilderness, right? To where? The promised land, right? And for us, our promised land is that promise of our eternity with Jesus. And so we're all in this. So as we walk through this kind of looking at the physical event that happened, remember, it's shadowing our journey here on earth. And so we're in that wilderness experience. And so thinking about our hearts, where they're at. You see, Israel lived under God's favor, as I said, delivered from slavery, guided by God's presence, provided for supernaturally. Yet God's favor on them did not prevent their spiritual collapse, did it? Some 600,000 graves, 600,000 people did not make it to the promised land. Why? Because of their disobedience. You see, a church worth becoming is not one that starts strong, but it is one that stays faithful. And that's what we're called to do in the journey, in the struggle, in the wilderness. We are called to stay faithful to the Lord. Amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, if not, there are Bibles there in the chairs that I'm told have very small print. But you can stare at it and just kind of nod and smile, and we'll assume you're following along. 1 Corinthians 10, and we'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. So Paul writes, he says, "Now I do not want you to be unaware,